MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
I'm chatting with Risa Hendricks. You find him, of course, at PPS Investments. Risa, appreciate the time. A recent note you put out starts with January IMF upgrade to global growth forecasts to 3.3%. I had forgotten about that and all the chaos that's followed. The reality is that U.S. tariffs, we're probably heading into maybe not a recession, but certainly a slowdown in global growth, particularly in the more export-reliant economies. Things have changed a lot since that January IMF statement.
That's right, Simon. Good morning and thanks for having me. I mean, how quickly things change. So you're right. I mean, that does seem like an ill-timed maybe upgrade, but I mean, who could have seen what was coming down the pike? I mean, if one looks at what the Fed nowcast model is showing, the Atlanta Fed, their sort of nowcast GDP model is showing that we are already in a contraction. We are potentially going to see a quarter of negative GDP growth. So it does seem, as you mentioned, that these tariffs are going to have an impact on growth, even if it's just from an uncertainty perspective, because people are holding back not only spending, but also investment plans. And then potentially also some impact on inflation. And we saw the Fed just recently also make some comments to that effect.
And that's the challenge for central bankers. I mean, we've got potentially slowing growth. We've got potentially rising inflation. That is two of the three legs of stagflation, which is a word which I think gets thrown around with too much ease and abandon. But this is going to be a hard needle to thread for central bankers the world over.
That's right, because it's so difficult. How can one justify cutting rates when inflation is high and rising? And then any sort of stimulus that could potentially come about from the fiscal side, that is arguably also going to add to inflation. So one is really stuck in a situation where there's not much that can be done about that stagflation type of scenario that does seem quite likely.
I want to touch on our own SARB in a moment. Before I do, global bonds, you say you have been overweight global bonds. The US 10-year as sort of the benchmark I use. I mean, it was, 4.5% just recently. It's coming down from that. Is that still attractive, particularly if you think that with bonds, it's the yield down, price up formula?
Yes. So, I mean, we saw the 10-year yield come all the way back to below 4. And so that overweight that we've had in portfolios, it worked out really well. We did, however, start to get quite nervous about the fact that you've got global investors starting to shun U.S. assets. Mm. You've got this economic warfare going on, and who knows how that might pan out, and it could easily impact people's willingness and desire to hold U.S. treasuries. So we have actually trimmed that back a little bit. And that was right before the U.S. treasury yield spiked back up above 4 quite sharply. It's now back about 4, but it is something that we are less constructive on than what we might have been at the start of the year for reasons that you've mentioned, and also just this unwillingness from, I think, global investors to want to be overexposed to U.S. assets.
As somebody who watches bonds, I sort of keep, I was going to say half an eye, and that's not even true. I keep a tenth of an eye on bonds because they move so slowly. That move from sub 4 to over 4.5 in the US 10-year was something that I've never seen before. That was quite an astounding move.
It was an extremely sharp move. If one looks at the volatility of bonds, you've got the move index. But I mean, that move itself, if one looked in the context of the past few decades, it's definitely one of the 5, I would say, biggest moves we've ever seen. So that was quite scary. And what it actually did, it is it prompted Trump to sort of backtrack temporarily on that very hostile path that he was on. So I mean, it even spooked, I would say, Trump.
Yeah, it reminds me of Liz Truss when the UK gilt did pretty much the same and saw her reverse as well. Bringing it home, you're looking for more, better, perhaps GDP growth in South Africa, but only modestly so, and frankly, still off a very low base.
That's right. I mean, structurally, we are still a low growth economy. And so long term, it's very difficult to get too excited. But I think just cyclically coming off that low base and seeing that things are starting to fall in place, we do expect modestly higher growth. We're not thinking 2-3% plus, but certainly better than what we've seen over the past decade on average.
And does that give, because our inflation still remains towards the bottom end of the target, the 3-6%. The governor, of course, always refers to the mid-range, the 4.5. We're just above 3. Does it give SARB, notwithstanding the conversation we had a moment ago about central bankers, does that give SARB space to give us some rate cuts in the year?
You would think so. I mean, with inflation where it is, there certainly is plenty of scope for the SARB to cut. What I do expect, though, is for them to continue just sort of raising the point that global risks are high and rising. And that, of course, could potentially impact the rand. But I mean, there's always this issue of, yes, you've got the local inflation does seem to be quite low, but the SARB is certainly going to be worried about what it is seeing globally. And so it's going to potentially move slower. But having said that, there is scope to cut, and we do expect more cuts to come over the course of this year.
Yeah, of course. I think there's a Fed meeting. I think it's 7 May and then SARB at the end of May. Local bonds, I mean, they've obviously, and concerns, I mean, global concerns have put pressure on them. Government of National Unity concerns have put pressure on them. What's your reading on our local bond market at the moment?
So we've come into the year with an underweight position to South African bonds, and that was quite well timed. After we saw that very strong rally last year, we decided to take a little bit off, and just expecting this budget process to challenging it. It was going to be the first one under the GNU, and we didn't know exactly how it was going to play out. But I mean, it certainly we did feel vindicated when we saw some of the challenges come about. Our view is that, I mean, we all know that there are fiscal risks locally. We think that after the GNU, after the budget saga, we are relieved that it does seem as though the GNU partners want to work together. I mean, the yields have been all over the place. As you mentioned, it's largely been driven by global dynamics. We think, therefore, that the local dynamics have sort of calmed down and we're less concerned there. But we are still concerned about the global drivers. And so we aren't overexcited. We aren't excited about local bonds. We're happy with that underweight. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if we do see significant weakness, we will, of course, add. The other thing I think worth mentioning is just the dollar dynamics, which I think is also just quite a big driver to all asset classes globally, including SA bonds.
Yeah, absolutely. And that dollar index has moved from, I think it was around 109 down to below 100. We leave it there. Reeza Hendricks, PPS Investments, appreciate the insights.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.